Guys like Victor Robles are not available.
So proud of you for saying Victor Robles.
I said Robles. Episode 54 of There Is No Offseason, a podcast from Baseball Prospectus focusing solely on Fantasy Keeper and Dynasty League formats. I am your host, Benton Carsley, and I am joined by BP's Fantasy Manager and Kyle Schwarber's very first fan, Brett Sayer, and my fellow authors, direct relation to presidential hopeful Marco, Mauricio Rubio, and the gasoline to Twitter's flame, Craig Goldstein. Say hi to everyone and tell them where they can find you on the interwebs. And Brett, let's start with you.
You can find me at baseballprospectus.com, dynastyguru.com, and on Twitter at dynastyguru. Mal?
You can find me at Baseball Prospectus. You can also find me in Florida on occasion campaigning for my cousin. And you can also find me on Twitter at mrubio52. Craig?
You can find me at Baseball Prospectus, the Dynasty Guru, and Fox Sports MLB. And you can find me on Twitter at CD Goldstein. That's CD as in currently distracted, Goldstein. Ben?
Excellent. You can also find me at Baseball Prospectus. You can find me at BP Boston. And you can find me on Twitter at Ben Carsley. You can find this podcast on Twitter via the creatively named at Tino Podcast handle. Like us on Facebook at There Is No Offseason. And ask us questions and talk to us about your feelings by emailing us at tinopodcast@gmail.com. So we are doing pretty well. I believe this is the fourth or fifth time this season that all four of us have been here for a Tino episode. So things are going great. We are rolling right along. But readers, or I guess listeners in this instance, we have a bit of a bone to pick with you because we barely had any questions to choose from this week. And if someone needs to put effort into this relationship, it's quite clearly not going to be us. It needs to be you. So we would expect better next time around. Right now, we actually are planning on recording once again in 2 weeks. So we will be a model of consistency moving forward. But we do still have enough to tear through a few reader emails before we get to some breakout dynasty prospects for this year and also discuss who some of the best, I guess not some of the, we're going to try to name the best option at each dynasty position moving forward. So our first reader email this week is from Davin. Davin says, Tino, our dynasty league currently uses CBS for our NL-only 12-team 40-roster league. We've used CBS for decades with our redrafting keeper leagues and just naturally went with them for dynasty. This year, we've run into numerous issues with their lack of player pool. Guys like Victor Robles are not available. Numerous other low A, short season, rookie, and lesser known guys just aren't available. I know you aren't in business of pimping other sites, but you are the recognized authority. That's horrifying. We've voiced our concerns to CBS, but want to review our options for next season. Any advice is appreciated. Davin. So I know there are lots of workarounds to this, regardless of which platform you use. But Craig, what do you prefer for this?
First of all, I'm just so proud of you for saying Victor Robles. That's one of my.
That's up there with Yayo. That's up there with.
Yeah, it's right up there with.
Oh, I said Robles. That's not. That's not great.
It's so good.
This is a tremendous podcast so far. This is really good.
Mm-hmm. This is genuine.
Yeah, that was perfect. No, the thing for the league is to use CBS. There's not a better site for minor league like player pool out there, at least in my experience. And I understand that some of these guys aren't available, but they let you create like fill in player cards that you can just use as placeholders until the actual player is added to the pool. I mean, I understand that this is something that that Davin and his league wants and likely a decent number of people want, but it's unrealistic to expect CBS to constantly be adding to their player pool throughout the year and go as low as like a short season breakout guys. I mean, it's just, you know, like the guy's been in full season ball for like 6 weeks or so. It's just not that much of a track record to go on that you should be upset that they don't have someone like him. The other thing is that this is why I support leagues that kind of don't necessarily allow in-season pickups. It makes for a fuller draft come the next year around, and you don't have to worry about guys who break out in the middle of a season like a Victor Robles or, you know, some of the other names we're probably going to get to later in the pod. So that's my take on it. Brett?
Yeah, anyone who, in my opinion, anyone who uses CBS and complains about it and wants to use something else doesn't appreciate the CBS that's in front of them. It's the best site to use for dynasty leagues for that reason. Does it really matter if you have the quote unquote real Victor Robles or if you have a placeholder on your roster? He's not in the majors. He's not going to be in the majors for years. I play in other sites where other leagues where you can own players before they're drafted, players, international free agents, all kinds of stuff. You can create placeholders for all of them. You can pretty easily keep track of them. The only issue that you run into is then you have to make sure that you add you have to have a commissioner that will add all of those players to the correct roster when they're actually added in the universe, or else you get some fun fab issues with that. But that's a small price to pay for the flexibility to do it. So CBS is way better than everybody else. It's not even close.
Do you remember how much better? Like how much worse this was a few years ago anyway? I feel like the last several years it's the depth of player pools has improved dramatically.
It really has, yeah.
Yeah, in a big way. I think ESPN is probably the worst of them, right?
I don't know because I just straight up don't really play Yahoo at all anymore, so I don't know how to compare it.
They're pretty equal.
Okay.
All right, well, that was a riveting open. And once again, because the questions were not so great, we're just going to go with this hard hitting one before we enter the meat of the podcast. And luckily I don't think there's a name in here for me to butcher. So this is a pretty important question from Meepits. Meepits asks, if each of you cheesers was a holiday, which one would you be? Not acceptable. Oh, there, see, it's not a name, but I can't say acceptable. God, I jinxed that one. Not acceptable. Matt Holiday, the band Holiday, or the Magnetic Fields album Holiday? Mao, I feel like we rarely kick it out to you first for the off-color questions, so lead us off.
I want to be Drew Holiday. Because I want to be tall and good at basketball and in New Orleans.
Okay. I don't have an answer for me. I think Craig would be Valentine's Day, because no one really is about that, but you're still in trouble if you forget it. So
I was going to say New Year's Eve for me, because like there's build up, but no one, it's really not that good and it's always overblown.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. That's not a bad point.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty like good.
Brett would be Thanksgiving, which is a compliment.
Thank you.
Well, Thanksgiving's the best holiday. So, okay. I mean, that's my favorite holiday.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Well, you do a special thing. You have two Thanksgivings, really. You have like regular Thanksgiving and then Pie-giving.
Well, it's all, I mean, it's all just pies.
Under the auspices of things. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So are you, I think Ben would be Juneteenth.
No.
Oh, I think so.
No, I think that's a bad path to walk down.
I don't even know it.
Some trouble.
I don't even know what Juneteenth is.
Well, you are from Boston, so that doesn't surprise me.
It's just like an Old Bay scenario where...
yeah, it's probably best to just kind of leave it there.
I think I could be Halloween because you tend to outgrow me very quickly.
So baseball games is one of the things people do on Juneteenth, according to timeanddate.com.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I looked it up. Oh, and you threw Boston at me. We were on the right side of that. Don't do that.
You haven't been for a while, but yeah, it's a great email segment.
Crushed it. new levels of powering through.
I'm still laughing at Tyler's notes, who is one of our listeners on Twitter, saying, which True Detective season is Tito? The nihilist surrealism says season one, but everyone hating it says season two.
Oh, I missed that. That's amazing.
I think that's really...
We're definitely episode six of season two of True Detective right here, right? Like, this is it?
Together for me. I really don't know. Is that the one where Vince Vaughn just came up with a new accent
in the middle?
That was every episode.
He alternated
Vince
accents.
Vince Vaughn speaks like I read Hispanic baseball player names. That's basically Vince Vaughn's entire voice.
Are we the moment in True Detective season two when his wife says you can't act for shit and it got really meta?
Yeah, we are consistently breaking the fourth wall on Tino. I feel like Enya could be flagged today. Welcome back to episode 54 of Tino. I hope you used that break to come up with some questions for next time, because dear God, was that first segment painful. But hopefully we can make up for it a little bit here, because we're going to spend the second half of the prospect. Oh God, not so much. We're going to spend the second half of the podcast discussing breakout prospects and the top dynasty player at each position. So breakout prospects, those are the questions we probably get the most of. I know that the listeners of this podcast in particular are always hungry for new names, because, you know, once someone has appeared in a few Baseball America hot sheets, or once someone's been on a minor league update by Jeff Moore a lot, or, you know, it makes a Keith Law top 50, everyone in their leagues already owns these guys. So we're going to try to go a little bit deeper for the most part and bring you guys that are just now breaking out that we think you still have a pretty good shot of owning, even if you play in a league as deep as TDGX. So, Brett, why don't you lead us off with a name that I bet many of our podcasters, listeners know, but probably not everyone.
Sure. The guy I want to start talking about is someone who I actually snuck in at the very, very end of the last update of the Dynasty 500, and that's Phillies pitching prospect Franklin Quilome. Or Quilome. Quilome? Quilome? Which?
Robles.
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 Yeah. Yeah, I assume it's Quilome. He's a guy who, you know, has there have been whispers about his stuff and his size, his ability to take some steps forward, and he's finally showing it this year in the New York Penn League. He's pitching for Williamsport. He's got a 174 ERA in seven starts. He's striking out some batters, but most importantly, he's showing the step forward and stuff that I think people were thinking he could take when he was pitching in the GCL last year. He's generally in the mid-90s with his fastball. He's got a curve and a change that both flash at least above average. The curve I've seen plus projection on it. He's 6'6". He's a big guy. He has good playing on the fastball. There's an awful lot to like about him. I don't think he's a guy who's going to move particularly fast. So I don't think he's someone who we'll see until, you know, if everything breaks right, maybe we'll see him in 2018. But I think he's definitely a guy to start. You know, if you're in a deep league, he's probably maybe gone already. But if you play in a medium size or reasonable size league, he's someone who might be out there, and he's definitely someone who's going to be available at the end of the season if you aren't allowed pickups mid season. So that's my first guy, Ben. Who's the guy you want to talk about?
Sure. I will move on to Devin Williams, who is definitely a name that I'm sure most people have heard since he was pretty notable when drafted, but is not a name that probably was likely to be owned after 2014 because it wasn't a very inspiring year for him. But he's having a very strong year in 2015 in Wisconsin, ERA of 3.15 right now. He's missing about a bat per inning. And the walks are still an issue, but they are not as much of an issue as I think people might have feared at this point in his development. He's still super young. He's not yet 21. He's getting there quickly, but basically everything is pointing up for him. He's very, very, very athletic. And, I mean, the upside here is what you're really drawn to. And considering that he's, I don't know, at least by my expectations, and I think a lot of people's expectations, succeeding sooner at a, maybe not a higher level, but just succeeding sooner than people thought, I think you'll see him start to skyrocket up lists because the potential is there, and now we're starting to see some numbers as well. So control will be the big the big catch-all there, and there are a lot of prospects who fall under that umbrella. But I think now is probably your last time to buy in on Williams if you keep more than 120 minor leaguers, because I'm going to guess he would start to appear on the back half of some top 100 lists starting this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Who is next? Craig.
I'll talk about a guy I've mentioned multiple times before as being kind of further away and a little bit under the radar. But Yohander Mendez is a lanky lefty for the Rangers, and he's been deployed a little differently this year. He's only started, I think, 6 games right now, but they've used him for multiple innings in relief, and I think they're just trying to take care of his arm. But he's shown feel for 3 pitches. They've flashed above average fastball, curveball, and changeup. And he's had a pretty dominating season on the whole. He's striking out more than a batter an inning. He's walking under 2 batters per inning, and some of that is him being used in relief, and I think he the quality of stuff against low A hitters is unfair, especially given that he's got, like I said, feel on the mound. But I don't expect him to live up to kind of the numbers he's shown, which are it's like a 1.5 ERA right now. That said, I think he's extremely talented, and I'll be interested to see what they kind of do with him going forward, because they have a Cal League affiliate for high A, and kind of getting him more innings next year in that environment could be an interesting thing. But at the same time, he's someone who I think is off kind of, the type of Ben was talking about, the back end of top 100s. I don't think he's close to that range, but I think if you buy in now, he's someone who could get there in the next year and a half, and give you nice value. Mal, who's your guy?
The Brewers had themselves a real nice draft, and I like a lot of what they did, all up and down it. And I'm going to talk about their second rounder, Cody Ponce. He was a big breakout star from the Cape this summer, and he's a big, tall. He's big and tall. He's 6'6", 240, and what he brings to the table is an above-average fastball, a nice little slider, and, a changeup that can get to average, so... And every once in a while, he'll flash in a curveball. And he's had a really good showing in his first year coming out of the draft. And right now, he's in A-ball, and he's striking out some batters, and he's having a tremendous debut out there. And I think that this is going to be a guy that you're going to want to keep tabs on as he starts climbing up the developmental tree. He's not necessarily ready to be, sneaking up into any top 50s or anything, but this is, this is going to be a little bit of a slower developmental curve, but it's going to be a guy that you're going to want to track. Are we going to snake it, or?
Yeah, let's snake it.
All right. The second guy I'm going to talk about is someone that isn't going to get a lot of press for a while, but he's got genuine tools, and one of the question marks with him was whether or not that stuff was going to actualize in game. It's Drew Jackson. He's a shortstop out of Stanford. He was selected by the Seattle Mariners in the 5th round. Right now he's doing exactly what you want to do in short season ball. He's hitting .394 and he's got 34 stolen bases, which is kind of good. I mean, that's all right, considering his age and where he was coming out of college, that's what you want to do. But he's got legitimate speed. It's not just a case where he's stealing off of inexperienced catchers or anything. He's a really good runner. And this is also a guy who's got a really good chance to stick at shortstop and be a big-time contributor there. It's going to be a little bit of a slow cook with him, but I'll definitely a guy you want to track. Greg?
Yeah, I'm going to stick in Texas, and this is a guy I highlighted on my article, The Ones Who Could Jump, that was in the Futures Guide, and he's very well known to everyone, but I think he's poised for a huge leap up the rankings, and I think he could be, I don't know, well, we'll see what Brett says about a top 50 type guy, but Lewis Brinson has long been a crush of mine and several other people on this podcast, and there's a good reason for that. He's incredibly sexy in person. He's toolsy as hell, and he's shown an ability to tinker with his swing and make tangible improvements. There was a time that he was kind of tinkering too much with his swing, but he had a double-digit walk rate in high A this year. He cut down on his strikeout rate by four percentage points. And while his overall slash line was inflated by his number, by his environment, I apologize, and his BABIP was north of 400, which is obviously unsustainable, there was real developmental progress made in terms of shortening up his swing and letting his natural bat speed create his power for him. He's not as torqued up as he used to be. And so there are real improvements here that are coming together, and he's now in AA. It's too small a sample size to draw anything meaningful out of it, but he's in AA after the trade that sent Nick Williams to Philly. And I think, you know, if he has even moderate success, if he can hold his own at AA at 21 years old, I think you'll see a lot of people starting to buy in on him. And without going too in depth, since most people know about Brinson, just another name that's probably off most lists is Andrew Knapp. I know CJ Whitman of the prospect team has been tweeting about him a little bit. He's a 23-year-old catcher for the Phillies. He was drafted in 2013, and he's in AA and showing substantial pop. He's been there 35 games. He already has 6 home runs. So he has a decent approach and a lot of power, and I can't go through a segment without mentioning a catcher. So that's the name. Ben, who do you got?
I love Brinson. Just want a second year. Your hot take there. I'm going to shock everyone and go with someone in the Red Sox minor league system here, which I know no one can see coming. And I'm going to go with Anderson Espinosa, who was a major J2 signing for them out of Venezuela last year. I think he was considered by some sources to be the best pitcher available last year. You know, for just about everyone, he was at least a top 5 or 6 arm. And he has done nothing but dominate since entering professional ball. In just shy of 50 innings this year, he is striking out over a batter per inning. He's not walking a ton of guys. His ERA is south of 1, and he's doing all of this as a 17-year-old who has already been promoted from the Dominican League to the Gulf Coast League. So that is pretty impressive. There were reports earlier of him hitting 98, 99 with the fastball. Of course, he doesn't sit there, but that's obviously a good sign. And when you combine that with the pitchability he's showing at a very young age and the fact that he already has a fairly advanced feel for his changeup and the curveball has a future grade of I've seen as high as 60-65, there's a lot to like here. So, I mean, he's a 17-year-old pitcher. Odds are that won't end well, but he's definitely someone to keep your eye on because, like Craig said, I don't think he's going to be a back half of the top 100 this year, but I would bet this is the last time that will be the truth if he also performs well early in 2016. Brett?
The last guy I want to bring up is someone who is actually performing better than I think his stock is his stock warrants. But I'll talk about Luke Weaver a little bit, the Cardinals draft pick from last summer. He was sort of the overshadowed draft pick because he was taken before Jack Flaherty, but Flaherty's sort of the sexier pitcher, the guy with a little bit more upside. But Weaver has been pretty dominant in the Florida State League all this year, and frankly, it's been a bit of a surprise that he's still there. He was, you know, he was reasonably advanced as a college arm. He, you know, pitched in high A towards the very end of 2014. So there's really nothing left for Weaver to prove in High A. I would imagine he'll get promoted soon, but he's a guy who's going to be in the majors. His ETA is more of a reflection of his value than his ceiling. He's not a big guy. He's pretty skinny. He's got good stuff, but he doesn't really have a breaking ball that you'd want to see from a starting pitcher. That said, he's been pitching well. He's got good fastball command. He's been showing it throughout the entire year, and he's someone that I think no one was really too concerned about, and he's kind of sneaking up on radar. So I expect that to continue throughout the off season. Though don't let the shiny stat line fool you. This isn't a top of the rotation kind of guy.
Fair enough. Any last minute names people want to throw out without going into breakdowns? Because you know we're going to receive additional requests.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty satisfied with the names we threw out there, honestly. It's a pretty good list.
Brett, I was interested and I kind of mentioned it on Brinson. Where would you have someone like Brinson, who's obviously shown a lot of tools? I honestly, like, he was on my ones who could jump last year, and then again this year, because I've loved him for a while and wanted. I really thought he was going to make it, even with just a solid year last year. Is he someone who's on your top 100, and how high, kind of?
I think he'll be there. I think he'll be probably, I don't know, maybe in the 60 to 80 range. The upside is definitely there. I just, we've had this conversation before. I'm a little bit less bullish on Brinson's ability to put it all together, but there's no question what he could be if it happens.
Sure. No, 60 to 80 makes sense to me, but the reason I was asking was I want to give people a feel for the range that someone who had hype and is somewhat living up to it coming off, with this type of season, where that kind of slots in on a ranking.
Yeah, I feel like that's about right.
Okay, yeah. Works for me.
Okay, so now that we've talked about guys who are years and years away in most cases, let's instead switch gears and just do sort of a brief, two-thirds of the season poll in terms of who we think the top dynasty players are at each position right now. And honestly, Brett, this is an idea you just brought up a little while ago. I think this is a great little tail end segment that I think we could do, I don't know, once every other month moving forward. As things change, I know for a lot of positions, there's not going to be a lot of discussion required here, but I'm betting that for one or two, people might have some divergent views. So what I'm going to do is just walk us through each position and throw out either the most obvious or an obvious choice for the most desirable fantasy player at each position. If someone disagrees or at least has a name they want to be considered, jump in. And if not, we can just move on and not waste anyone's time. Fair enough?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, so we will start with catcher. I know there are some good young catchers right now, most notably Mr. Schwarber in Chicago. But I think fair to say that right now, top dog in dynasty leagues is still Buster Posey. Anyone have a strong disagreement with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's Schwarber.
Okay.
I take Schwarber over Posey.
I'm making a face and nodding, which is not to say I agree. I'm just not surprised.
But you would still go with Posey.
Yeah, I don't think any of you guys should be terribly, terribly surprised. But he can rake. He can absolutely rake, and I think he's going to keep this eligibility for a couple of years. I think he might be I was talking about this on Flags Fly Forever. I think depending on how the Cubs use him next year, I think he could be the number one fantasy catcher in redraft leagues next year. And that, given his age and his you know, his age. I think that makes him top here.
Brett, do you think he passes Mike Trout in overall fantasy value in June or July of next year?
May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my only the logic here is correct. My only hesitancy with keeping the catcher eligibility is tempered by watching him catch. But I think that the Cubs do seem intent on keeping him back there, despite how bad it looks.
So does that mean you also prefer him to Posey?
No, I would take Posey. I mean, I'm probably compromised here because I literally hate watching him behind the plate. But yeah, I would still go Posey.
All right, fair enough. Brett is indeed the world's resident Kyle Schwarber expert, so I guess we should have seen that coming. First base, Kyle Schwarber. No, Paul Goldschmidt is probably the consensus choice, but I know there are several others right behind him. Anyone have someone they think is a worthy challenger to Goldschmidt?
So no Hosmer love anymore? Are we off that train now?
Off the train because I don't think he's better than Paul Goldschmidt. No,
come on, now.
Still got Hosmer in plenty of pieces.
Yeah, there's no one in his class.
No, there really isn't.
I mean, like short term, I mean, I think you could put Miguel Cabrera in the class, but not for dynasty.
Yeah, well, sure.
I mean, who's your okay? So Goldschmidt is there. Who's your second? Rizzo?
Dynasty Rizzo. Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely Rizzo.
Oh, right. Man.
Schwarber and Rizzo.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I have about I have to go back to Schwarber for a minute with Brett. Do you think he improves on or basically replicates what he's doing right now all of next year and somewhat beyond? I mean,
no.
Obviously, there's some leeway there.
I think this batting average is a bit of a mirage, but I think he can legitimately challenge to hit 300.
Okay, and that's fine, and I'm not sure I disagree. So but right
the
now 30,
the 30 home run power is completely legit.
Right now he's at 313, 404, 556 slash line.
Mm-hmm.
Buster Posey is at 331, 391, 501.
Yep.
What am I missing?
The power.
Okay.
I think Posey's reliable for 20 to 22 homers a year going forward, I'd say. I think Schwarber can hit 30 and okay. Have a good average to boot. And he's, what, 5 years younger?
Yeah, I mean, but Posey's 28. It's not...
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's old, but he's 5 years younger.
It'll be interesting to see who loses catcher eligibility first between the two of them.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that Posey's no lock to keep the catcher eligibility.
That's your argument while you're touting Kyle Schwarber.
Exactly, exactly. It's a fair argument, but yeah.
Oh no, I think it's a slight advantage for Posey, but I don't think it's as much of an advantage over Schwarber as someone who I think would definitively stick at catcher for the next 5 years.
I mean, okay, I don't know. I'd be surprised Posey is a really good catcher, so for him to go from, I mean, he catches a lot now and plays first base a decent amount to get his bat in the lineup more, but I mean, he could be a platoon catcher, not a platoon, like, but you know, share time, a timeshare catcher.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because yeah, I don't think it's likely that he'll lose catcher eligibility in the next 5 years. I just think that there's a chance of that.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm sorry for sidetracking us. Let's carry on.
Okay, we will move on to second base, which I'm guessing will be even more of a debate. Gordon or Altuve? I lean toward Altuve. What's the rest?
I also lean towards Altuve, just because we wanted to doubt the hit tool again this year, and he's replicated it pretty well. And I know Gordon's done it and proven us all wrong the past couple of seasons, but I just still don't want to believe in it for some reason.
And there are other reasonable options who aren't performing at that level right now. You could argue Jason Kipnis.
I will argue Jason Kipnis.
If you're a huge believer in Robinson Cano still, you could bring up that name. So this one is sort of wide open. I didn't mean to narrow it just to those two. Craig, is Kipnis your argument?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a guy I believed in prior to last year, and the oblique injury really just crushed his season. I know he isn't hitting for the home run power as much this year. He's only got 6, but he had 14 and 17 in 2012 and 13, respectively. I think 15 is not unreasonable for him. He's still slugging 477, so it's not like he's not hitting for power. And, I mean, he's hitting 326, 401, 477, and he's swiped 11 bases. So he contributes across the board, and I don't think that's I don't think that's necessarily going anywhere. I just kind of prefer guys who go across the board as to compared to guys like Altuve or Gordon, who are kind of like huge impacts in one category or two, and then kind of middling or less everywhere else.
Well, that's not really a totally fair characterization of Altuve anymore.
How's that?
I mean, he has 9 home runs right now.
Do you think that is that something you'd count on going forward?
I mean,
to me, that's luck. He's got a 408 slugging percentage. That's pretty bad.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if you're playing in slugging percentage leagues, no.
No. But, well, no, I'm not. But if you're talking about going forward, then slugging percentage is more indicative than the 9 homers he has this year, because that probably they're probably they're by wall scrapers.
I think Altuve can reasonably challenge for around 10 home runs a year. And if you're talking about Kipnis maybe getting to 15, you know, it's not an enormous difference there. And I believe Altuve will hit for a higher average and steal way more bases. So I'm just saying it's not a D. Gordon case only contributes.
Going that way, like Kipnis is hitting 326 to Altuve's 298. So, I mean.
I don't really think that's the same. I think but we can move on. Do you think Kipnis is going to hit for – well, do you think 298 is Altuve's? I don't know. We've always disagreed on Altuve. What do you think
Altuve's – he's a career 302 hitter.
Okay. What's Kipnis' career?
274, but he has a 240 season mixed in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Kipnis is a crazy choice over Altuve. I just don't think indicating Altuve's a one-trick pony is really fair to what Altuve's doing.
Well, I said one or two because I was giving him average. Same with Gordon.
Someone less pedantic. Brett, who is your top second baseman?
I kind of want to say Cano. I don't really believe in any of these guys, so I might just take the now production. It really is a total crapshoot. The other guy who I think about is Brian Dozier.
Yeah. I mean,
Brian Dozier's on pace to hit over 30 home runs. Brian Dozier's been hitting for power consistently, and he steals some bases, and he scores a ton of runs, and he gets on base. I think in an on-base league, I think Dozier's the number one guy. I know that's not what we talked about originally, but I have more confidence that Dozier will continue to hit for power than Gordon or Altuve will continue to do what they've been doing.
I could co-sign.
So yeah, I think
I get that.
I think Dozier would be my guy. As weird as that sounds to say.
I mean, I think this discussion, honestly, this is like an accurate assessment of where second base is right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Third base. Also tricky. You could go Josh Donaldson. You could go Manny Machado. You could go Chris Bryant, I suppose. If you really, really, really love Nolan Arenado, that's a tougher argument to make, but he's probably in the discussion. Gun to my head, I think I actually go Machado, even though for the next few years I prefer Donaldson. I think overall I lean Machado. Mao, what about you?
I would rank them Donaldson, Machado, then Bryant. And that's not necessarily a slight to Bryant at all, but I think that Donaldson's production over the next couple of years, as you were kind of hinting at, is going to be such that it's going to outpace both Machado and Bryant. And, given the lineup that they have out there and just the hitting environment that he's in, like that's just going to be my choice on top of the talent that he has. It's, extraordinarily obvious. But, hey, third base is fun again. Remember when it was really bad?
I do. It is fun again. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. No, I'm happy about it. So, yeah, I would definitely go Donaldson, Machado, and then Bryant.
Craig?
Yeah, it's tough. Because it's not like Donaldson's that old.
Right.
So, like, it's not – I don't know. I have a hard time putting Bryant behind Machado. I know he's having this crazy year. I'm just wondering how much of it is sustainable and how much isn't. Like, it is – if he's 85% of this year going forward, that's a all-star basically every year and – a dominant player for a long time, and I'm not sure it's better than what I think Chris Bryant could be. I know he's not having the same year that Machado is now, but just the raw power overall is ridiculous. I think I'd go Donaldson, Bryant, Machado, but I mean it's really hard to get upset with any of these. And then I don't think Nolan Arenado is that big of a stretch. Maybe I haven't been paying enough attention to him recently, but he's having a pretty nice year. He's got 27 homers already. There's like a massive amount of power in baseball. Again, I feel like I know that offense in general is down, but there's a lot of home runs.
It's clearly on the upswing again.
Yeah. How many people do you think are going to get to 40 home runs? Do you think?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know what like overall home run totals are right now.
How many got there last year? Because I think
that's what I was about to pull.
So yeah. Right now there are 7 players with 30 or more home runs.
One person hit 40 home runs last year. Nelson Cruz hit 40 exactly.
That's right.
Right now there are 7 right. with at least 30 and 13 with at least 25.
You know, Rizzo's in the 30, right?
Rizzo has 21.
21, okay. Oh, man. Missed
Nelson,
that one.
Nelson Cruz has 34. He's basically a lock to get there.
Yeah, Trout has 33.
Trout has 33. He's probably going to get there.
Harper has like 32, right?
Harper's 29.
Harper has 29.
Okay.
It's Cruz, Trout, Donaldson, Davis, J.D. Martinez, because why not? Mark Teixeira, Pujols, Harper,
why not?
Frazier, Arenado are the top 10.
So I feel like 3 guys can get to 40, which, I mean, it doesn't sound like that much more than 1, but, like, I think that the sheer volume of people who are threatening 40 seems like a lot more than it was last year. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like more what we have... How many games do we have left? We have like 7 weeks left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like 6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not crazy to me.
I mean, I think Cruz and Trout are definitely going to get there. I would bet Donaldson and Davis get there, and I wouldn't put it past Harper or like a Joey Bautista getting there. I don't know. David Ortiz has like 16 home runs in his last 6 weeks, so who the hell knows about him? I don't know. It's just it seems like a substantial difference compared to last year. Like it's hard for me to see like I said, like I went to look at Nolan Arenado to see if I was missing anything. He's got 27 home runs already. It's only August 13th. It's crazy to me that guy he's like a 280 or so hitter with huge power playing in Coors is getting like a, he's like the fifth guy maybe in a dynasty ranking at third base. I think it's great, and I don't think it's crazy considering the names in front of him, but that's substantial value.
All right. Well, that was some sexy third base talk that led to some sexy power talk. Shortstop.
Let's just throw that in there.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's with the big boys yet, but it's not crazy. Shortstop. Plenty of options here. We can go with Troy Tulowitzki in a dynasty league. You could argue Carlos Correa. Some could argue Xander Bogaerts. Brett, where do you stand on this?
I think it's Correa. I don't think it's really close either. I'm curious to know if you guys feel the same way.
I think it's Correa, like, pretty far and away too. Like, he's slugging like 541 right now.
Yeah, I don't. I hate to be boring, but I agree. It's Correa, and it's not. I mean, he's Troy Tulowitzki if I knew Tulowitzki would be healthy and 20.
You're gonna say Xander, aren't you?
No, I can't. Which is not fair that Brett gets to say Kyle Schwarber and I can't say Xander. But no, it's Correa. Just a bummer, but it's Correa.
But Xander's really good.
Xander is very good.
Yeah.
Just need that power to come back, but very good. All right. Can we skip outfield?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Well, should we pick three?
It's Jason Hayward, right?
Yeah, we can pick three.
I mean, so, we know Trout and Harper are one and two. So who's the third outfielder?
For me, probably still McCutchen.
Yeah, I mean, McCutchen or Stanton. I don't probably McCutchen,
yeah. It's probably McCutchen, but I'll go with Stanton just to kind of break mold.
Yeah, I think I'd still take Stanton slightly ahead of McCutchen. Yeah, I think Stanton's number three guy.
I mean, I know he's young, but at some point, what's the, like, he's missed a lot of games in every year but two?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he hadn't, I think he'd be pretty close to number two. But, you know, it's a serious concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with either of them. They're both fantastic.
He had 27 homers in 74 games. That's so stupid.
Is that
good? Oh, yeah.
Like, that's insane.
I just want to see 50 out of him once. Just once.
It's gonna happen once.
I hope. I really do.
Oh, I think it'll happen more than once in his career.
But I guess that statement's more about him being healthy enough to do it. So, yeah.
Right. But he's still like 7 years old, so I'm hoping he'll stay healthy enough to do it once or twice.
Do you guys remember when we kept getting emails in the off season about people with all their keeper choices, and then they would unhappily throw Charlie Blackmon at the end of that list? And then we would constantly have to tell people that they probably should keep Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah.
Pretty frequently.
Yeah, it turns out he's really good.
I think it happened like every week. He's really good.
Yep, he's really good. I was super, super wrong.
I still can't get over JD Martinez, but
neither
nobody
can Astros.
Knows. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I liked him coming into this year, but I did not see that step forward in power coming. I didn't think he had this much upside in him. But he's been wonderful.
What a world we live in.
I know.
Okay, starting pitchers. I guess to say, I'm assuming we're still in agreement that Kershaw is number one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Who is number two for you, Craig?
I'm going to say... Oh, God. Am I really going to say it?
Yeah, you're going to say it.
Yeah, Jake DeGrom.
Brett, is that maniacal laughter a second there?
It is. It's unbelievable, but
it's so stupid.
He's so good.
So good.
And he keeps getting better. I mean, the only hesitancy that I have with DeGrom is that. Well, no, and this is not a concern that's rooted in anything that anything real or anything like that. It's just a gut feeling I get, and it's probably just the Mets fan deep inside of me that is just assuming things are going to go wrong. As his stuff continues to tick up, I worry he's just going to blow out. But he's on talent, no question. He's number two.
do you think he'll be throwing like 109 in 2019?
It's
possible.
Brett, if Jake DeGrom faces Kyle Schwarber, what happens? Does the earth just open up?
Six to midnight.
Brett, quiet. Tears of joy right there.
Didn't it happen like a week ago?
Something like that.
I don't know. I don't have Kyle Schwarber alerts set up on my phone.
You should.
Brett, what happens first? Jake DeGrom throws 100 miles an hour, or he turns into a dog? Because he looks more and more like, what is it? What kind of dog is it? Is it like
he's
an Irish setter or something like 40% that?
40% of the way to a dog right now.
Yeah, that might be a touch generous, but yeah, it's in the ballpark. It's wonderful. It is wonderful to get to watch him on a regular basis. There's no other way to describe it. He is just delightful.
Yeah, you like to think that when you watch as much baseball as we do, that you know players like this still can't surprise you. But goddamn, Jake DeGrom at the All-Star game, like even going into that knowing that he was good, that just still sticks with me.
That's what it's like every time.
I know that intellectually, but it's just jarring to see it on that stage, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to surprise everyone for a long time. So it's got to be DeGrom.
You're also going DeGrom?
No, I mean, it's DeGrom, but I'm going to say Chris Sale because fuck you guys, but it's DeGrom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ben, do you think it's Anderson Espinosa?
I think he's just give him like another few months. He might be there. I kind of have a tough time. I know he's like 4 years older than DeGrom. I kind of have a tough time staying away from like Scherzer right now. I don't know. Pitchers just scare me, so I stay away from them until the later rounds. So I'm unfamiliar even speaking about these names, really, because I know I'll never own them. I love, love, love Gerrit Cole. I know the upside isn't the same as a DeGrom, but I just think he's someone who's built a lot of innings forever.
I was thinking about listing him as an option. Yeah. So.
He's a lot of
fun. That's such a weird sentence. I know Gerrit Cole's upside isn't the same as DeGrom's.
Right?
It's crazy.
That's a real sentence.
Where is Greinke for you guys? Is he too old? Is it? I mean, because he's having.
He's capping off a Hall of Fame career, right? Like, I mean, that's.
I think he's right around 5 or 6 overall for me.
Okay. All right. So what?
What is it that keeps him from being hired?
No. I guess I'm just trying to think, like, who, like, what do you do with Jose Fernandez at this point?
You can't put him that high. You can't. You can't. Jake Arrieta?
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
I might have him at 4.
Where is...
Scherzer at 3, just for full disclosure.
Where is Chris Archer?
I think he's in the top... Either right in the top 10 or just outside the top 10.
I think
Archer might be my 3.
Where is Joe Kelly?
He's got great stuff.
Have you seen the stuff?
Pawtucket?
It is nice.
that banner you had was tremendous.
Joe Kelly's in the 7th inning of a blowout. That's where Joe Kelly. Where is Matt Harvey?
Back of the top 10.
Where is Noah Syndergaard?
Stop saying names.
I'd say he's probably 15 to 17 ish.
Okay, last name. Where's Steven Strasburg?
Oh, good one.
Like right around 10.
Okay, so you're still in. You're in on healthy Steven Strasburg.
Oh, I'm still in on healthy Steven Strasburg. But I don't think he'd crack the top 10. Maybe 11 or 12. I'm definitely still in, just not super in.
All right, so I asked those names, and I'm just going to rattle off really quick the top 10 of the TDG 2015 Dynasty rankings for starting pitcher, which it's obviously, it's a more expansive kind of like we have more people involved than just us. But just to give an idea, like we didn't even talk about Felix Hernandez or some of the other names, but we had Kershaw 1, Felix 2, Sale 3, Darvish 4, Strasburg 5, Fernandez 6, Price 7, Scherzer 8, Bumgarner 9, and Harvey 10.
Yep.
So I'm just giving people kind of a frame of reference for where people have moved around.
No, and this is exactly the reason why people trade away pitching in dynasty leagues, is that there's way more turnover on these lists for pitchers than there are for hitters. And, you know, there's a decent amount of turnover for hitters, but it's also why when you're rebuilding, you build around hitters and not pitchers.
Yep. All right. I just, like I said, it was just frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
Do we care about closers?
Nope.
Oh, we don't have to do the closers?
Nope.
Hell no.
Oh,
no,
yes.
No.
It's, okay, so but here's instead of fantasy value, let's, who is the best reliever in baseball?
Dellin Betances.
Anyone else? I agree.
He's unbelievable.
Chapman.
Those are the two options.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Betances, but Chapman there.
The thing about Betances is that he is the, if you put him on who was it? Fuck. The Marlins, I want to say. Yeah, the Marlins. He was tied for the strikeout lead on the Marlins.
Yeah.
With starters. Like, it doesn't. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really sucks having to watch him destroy your team many times.
Where's Enya on this ranking?
Right after Joe Kelly.
Welcome back to episode 54 of There Is No Offseason. As always, we'll send you out with a little housekeeping. If you're into daily fantasy sports, feel free to challenge us on DraftKings. I feel like we've built some momentum lately, and we've definitely been getting better as the season goes on. But playing with a bunch of people you'll definitely recognize from Twitter, from comments at BP, it actually is pretty fun. So definitely get with us on that. Please rate and review us on iTunes or whatever other platform you are using to listen to this podcast. We still do read your feedback, and we appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter at Tino Podcast and get in touch with us through email at tinopodcast@gmail.com. You can find Brett on Twitter at Dynasty Guru. You can find Mauricio at MRubio52. You can find Craig at CD. That's CD as in culinarily disadvantaged Goldstein. And you can find me at Ben Carsley. Thank you for listening, and have a good night.
Vote for Marco.
Can we talk about how there's the Mauricio Romeo Marco Rubio connection, and then Ben Carsley, Ben Carson?
I know.
It's incredible.